One of the issues of concern for the Catholic Church here in the Holy Land is emigration. It's not just confined here to the Holy Land, but Christians all over the Middle East leave the tension, the conflict, discrimination in their countries. How is your church here working to combat that and keep them in the Holy Land?
Yes. In order to solve this issue of immigration, we have to know and diagnosticate the reasons, the factors. Now, the factors are three. The first of them is the security reason. This land has experienced 8 conflicts in 80 years. It's too much for a country. This is the first reason, insecurity. The second reason is economical, and it is related to security. When the security is not good, the economy is not good. And the third reason is religious, because Christians are a minority, and a minority, as you know, it's not easy to live as a minority. For some people, it's a complex of minority, and maybe they feel more free there. It doesn't mean that there is any persecution here at all. I refuse this affirmation. But, you know, people maybe feel better in the West for the education of their children, I don't know. They feel maybe better. Now, what we need to do, first of all, is to convince our people that their remaining here is a vocation and not a fatalism. So this is important, that they remain here by conviction, and that some more dollars are not enough to motivate someone to abandon the holy places. And because the holy places are not only stones, they are living stones, the Christians of the Holy Land. So what would be Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Nazareth without Christian community? It's a pity. What would be Al-Aqsa without Muslims? What would be Mecca without Muslims? What would be Medina without Muslims? So the holy places comprise also the population around. So really it's essential and it's crucial, not only for us as Catholic Church of the Holy Land, but for all the Catholic Church in the world, that this tiny Christian community remains on the land. This is important.
But you here at the Latin Patriarchate are actually doing some positive physical things, material things to keep people here in this Holy Land.
Yes, we do. We implement projects like housing projects, like schools to educate the children. We even created jobs in some time to give work to people during the First and Second Intifada. We also distributed humanitarian help when many people were workless. We continue also to help, like before, maybe a little bit less, because the situation now is better than what it was in the years 2000 to 2005, because of the coming of pilgrims, the touristic industry is working better. But we continue really to help people, but this is not enough to convince people to remain here. I believe that the economical factor, working on the economical factor, is not enough. We have really to work on the faith issues, to give spiritual motivation. And the Synod of the Bishops on the Middle East has put as target, first target among five others, among the five targets of the Synod, the first one is really spiritual. It says like this: the Synod wants to strengthen the faith of the people of the Middle East based on the Word of God. So if really our people can rely, read, meditate, live, rely on the Word of God, it means that they will consider their life here as a big, big blessing. So it's a blessing to live here and not a curse at all. So it's not enough to make projects. Building the faith of people is much more for me than building houses. I built 80 houses. I am building 80 houses, but I don't consider that I have to retire now after this. It's not enough. Maybe I helped 80 people to remain here, but I didn't help 80,000. So we have to work more on the faith of the people.
I have witnessed Westerners coming to the Holy Land say to Christians here, Arab Christians, "When did you convert to Christianity?" This is another thing that the Synod documents have expressed concern about, the fact that in the West there's little to know awareness about the local Christian communities in the Middle Eastern region. How can you change that to get the international community more involved, more concerned about the Middle East's Christians?
I believe that it's difficult to speak about international community, to be especially sensitive to the Christians, because the West is no more Christian. Maybe this question would have been valid 100 years ago in Europe, where maybe 90% were Christians in Europe, or even 40% were practicing every Sunday. But today, with the de-Christianization in Europe, we cannot really speak about awareness of the international community, especially Europe, with us. Okay, still there are churches in Europe, and we try really to talk to them, and when they come as pilgrims, bishops, priests, and pilgrims really try to contact us and to know better the situation. Yes, this is important. So pilgrims who come here are more aware of the situation of the Christian community than who only see the situation on TV or in the newspapers. It's different. So I invite people to come and to see.
Why is the Christian community here important?
Christian community is important because of the holy places mainly. We are witnesses of what happened 2,000 years ago. Incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. We continue the same faith, the same tradition, in some way the liturgy of the first church. So the first church is important to all the world, and we are witnesses, we are the heirs of the first church, first season. So we are witnesses of Christ himself in this holy land. Second, we are the mother church. Everything started here in Jerusalem. From here, Jesus sent his disciples to all the world. So the Catholicism or Christianity without Jerusalem has no meaning. And Jerusalem without a Christian community inside it has no meaning. For this reason, we can say that the local church and the Catholic Church and the Christian Church need all together to have a good, vibrant, living Christian community witnessing its faith in the Holy Land. It's important.
You have been involved in education, particularly the seminary in Beit Jalla near Bethlehem. What do you think the church can do to improve the amount of effort that it puts into education?
I was rector of the seminary for some years, and I was also educator in the same seminary and lecturer. So I understand the importance of educating future priests. But also, in order to have candidates to the seminary, we know the importance of also educating faith in the Catholic schools. We have good Catholic schools in the Holy Land. We have around 100 schools belonging to the Catholic Church between Jordan, Israel, and Palestine.
And they're not just Christians frequent these schools.
In these schools, there are Muslims and Christians. And at least we can speak about a total number of 65,000 students. Among them, around a third are Christians. The two-thirds are Muslims. But we consider the presence of Muslims in our schools as very important. Because if the Synod speaks about interreligious dialogue, where does this interreligious dialogue start, if not in the school, when two students study together, live together, play together, interact, interreact together? I believe that it is easier to build interreligious dialogue between students than between adults, because they are more receptive. So education is very, very important. So our schools are important not only for educating to faith. It's important. We know that. We are convinced. But it's important also to educate to dialogue. And it would be really wrong to open our schools only for Christians, because these schools would become ghettos, intellectual ghettos, where only Christians live together, and as if we were 100% of the population as percentage. We are 2%. So if we live in a school as a majority of Christians, and in life we come back to be 2%. So we don't prepare our Christian students to real life. So in order to prepare them to real life, they have to live with non-Christians starting in the school. So they know how to dialogue in school and how to dialogue further in real life.
Do you ever have to respond to accusations that through its schools, the Catholic Church is trying in some way to proselytize?
Not really, because no Muslim became Christian through our schools, and we don't try to do that. What we try to do is that we know better Islam, and Islam knows better Christianity. This is dialogue. I know that in some schools, in Bethlehem University, there are courses where, in the same course, with the same students, Christianity and Islam are matters of study. So a Muslim and a Christian came an alternative way, and each one explains what are the values of each community. This is good. This happens in some schools, in Bethlehem University, and I believe it should be generalized in all schools. This is interreligious dialogue. Interreligious dialogue is to know the values of the others. It is not convince others of what I have. It is to convince myself of his values, because it is reciprocal. If he is convinced of my values, there are shared values, I am convinced of his values. We know each other better. We love each other better. We can make cohabitation in a better way.
And finally, what do you hope comes out of this synod, and what kind of impact do you think it can have on the church in the Middle East, but perhaps also on the Muslims and Jews in the Middle East?
Really, it's a difficult question. We know the target, but we don't know if we would succeed and how much we will succeed. The synod can give very good fruits. It can also give few fruits. Really, I don't know. It depends upon how much you will pray, because the protagonists of the synod are not only theologians. It's the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which makes us say what, where, when, this is the Holy Spirit. Because also we can say something which may hurt Muslims and Jews in the synod, and this will make things worse. If a bishop makes a speech and he says Christians are persecuted all over the Middle East, this will cause a big issue, because he didn't distinguish between this country and that country. We can't speak about general harassment at all. In Palestine, Syria, Israel, Jordan, Christians are free to practice their faith. So if we speak about persecution, as some people would like to say, this will cause big scandal and shock in the Muslim world, and it will be counterproductive. So really, I hope that the bishops will say what should be done in a good way, in a positive way, and in a constructive way, which may be accepted really by Muslims, Jews, and non-Catholics, because also we'll have to speak about ecumenical issues. So we didn't hurt Orthodox or Protestants or Anglicans. We have to be very respectful of others. We have to say the truth, but in a charitable way. This is what Augustine said: a truth which is not charitable is a charity which is not true. So really, we have to say the truth, to speak with freedom, but with respect for the people with whom we are living. Muslims, or Jews, or Druzes, or Baha'is, or in the Middle East, there are many religions, many languages, many political trends. So we have to be respectful of others, even if we have to say the truth, all the truth, but with charity, with compassion, with respect.